fellow runners. I am your host, Finn Melanson, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, a podcast dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as training plans to fit every runner and every budget. What are your thoughts on strength training when it comes to getting better at running or preparing for your next big race? Do you think there's a place for it? Are you skeptical about whether it's necessary? Or are you on the opposite end of the spectrum, swearing by it, attributing it to injury prevention, attributing it to your most memorable training and racing breakthroughs? Either way, here at Runners Connect, we are big believers in strength training, and that's what today's episode is all about. We've put together some of the best interviews we've conducted over the past 6 years from master's coaches, researchers, and high-performing athletes to help you better understand the benefits of strength training in any running program. We'll dispel some of the myths out there around strength training, what the academic research says about its applicability to running, the types of strength training you should be doing, how often you should be doing it, what progression should look like in this area, and more. And the best part is, in this podcast, we are boiling everything down to just the best advice and words of wisdom. So, if you're ready to learn how to make the most of strength training for your running performance, today's interview roundup is just what you need.
If you're a runner who constantly struggles with gas, bloating, and cramps, check out Mass Enzymes from Biooptimizers. Their Digest enzymes can help get rid of stomach issues naturally. I'll explain more later in the episode and how you can save 10% at messenzymes.com/run to the top. Finding the right supplements at the right dosages specifically for your needs isn't easy. That's why we love Elo Health. Elo uses a combination of an at-home blood biomarker testing, Apple Health data, and dietitian support to determine exactly the right supplements just for you. I'll tell you more about how it works and how you can get a free biomarker test later in this episode.
First up is Lindsey Baumgren, a certified personal trainer and group fitness instructor specializing in strength training for runners. In this clip, Lindsey dispels some of the myths around strength training for runners and goes into detail about why it's so critical for improvement in our sport.
This is science, people. The stride of your run is generated by the force you can push your foot away from the ground, correct? Your running stride is generated by force, like force and mass, force and mass. This is science, right? And so the more force you can strike the ground with, the more you will propel yourself forward faster, the better your PRs become, all that jazz, right? Strength training is the foundation of that. Your power generating muscles are your hips, your glutes, your hamstrings, right? That's your lower body. Those are your power generators that propel you forward. The stronger those are, the better your stride will be, the faster you will run, the less injuries you will have because your hips are stable, your core is stable supporting you. So I just think it's science. And I just got a message, a DM that landed in my inbox like 2 days ago that I should screenshot and send to you. It literally said, I stopped running because of COVID. She lives in, you know, kind of Minnesota-y cold weather for 5 months over COVID. I couldn't go to the gym. I didn't have a treadmill, whatever. So I resorted to your workout plans. I did them for the last 5 months. I went out for my first run the other day and crushed a PR. Like, I am so much faster. And I'm like, yes.
Next up is Dr. Jordan Santos Conchazero, a former professional runner and doctor of exercise physiology. In this clip, Jordan reflects on the research showing the positive running benefits of consistent strength training. Let's listen in.
Well, one of the main problems actually, especially for recreational runners, is that a lot of them don't do any strength training at all. And that's a big mistake, I think. A lot of research has shown that strength training is a key training to improve your performance, your running economy, to reduce risk of injury and stuff. So I don't know why people don't hit the gym when they are, even professional runners have a lot of lack of knowledge with regards to strength training. And I don't know why this happens, because research is very clear. Mm-hmm. Almost every single study that has focused on strength training has found that these kinds of training improves your performance, improves the running economy. But I guess that this is something that researchers have to change, try to send this message to the coaches to include strength training into the training programs of the athletes. And they will see that the benefits are huge. So it's actually worth it to try.
And what kind of strength training are we talking about here? Are you talking about heavy lifting? Are you talking about using dumbbells? Does it matter?
Well, it depends on the level of the athlete, obviously. But basic exercises like deadlift, squats, even bench press, all these kinds of exercises are important. I would recommend to use heavy workloads rather than light ones. Try to lift at high speeds. Try to base your strength training on speed rather than on the weight and stuff. And of course, plyometric training is important as well. Even hills is a form of strength training. So everyone does hills, but not everyone hits the gym to do like proper strength training.
And how often have you found to be the max, the optimal amount of time to go to the gym? Is it twice a week or?
I recently did a meta-analysis of every single study using strength training to improve running economy in elite runners. And we found that every single study found an improvement in performance and running economy when doing a heavy workload strength training. And according to that meta-analysis, the most appropriate or the best frequency of these kinds of training will be like twice or even three times per week, depending on how good you are and how many sessions you do, but at least two times per week.
Great. And even if someone isn't an elite runner, that's something that could kind of give them a bit of a motivation, but bring them up to the next level for them if they added it in as well.
Definitely, because stronger runners can actually train a little bit more. He will recover better from other sessions. His hormone endocrine system will be better. So there are many benefits, and you don't have to train like really, really hard in the gym all the time. Obviously, there is a progression. If you're a recreational runner, you can start with simple exercises, and as soon as you start to improve, you can actually do like more complex exercises.
With that helpful advice, let's now turn our attention to Jay DeSherry, a biomechanics and physical therapy expert. In this clip, Jay talks about three key components of strength training: postural work, lifting work, and power work. And he also goes into detail about what's involved, why they matter, and examples to illustrate best practices.
So there's a few things here, right? You can break this down into kind of three categories. So I'm going to break it down into postural endurance. I'm going to break it down into strength training and into explosive training, right? So from the postural standpoint, this is not just don't slump or, you know, stand with a straight back. This gets into how you carry yourself when you run, right? So it's no secret that runners get tired as they run. And, you can train to make sure you can, maintain better postural alignment throughout the course of a run, whether it be a shorter intense run or a longer slow, easy run or an ultra or whatever, right? I mean, you're going to get tired. You need to have the postural strength and muscle memory to combat changes in postural alignment. That's mandatory. So that's a chunk of work. I would say that, for that type of training, right, higher repetition, low load exercise works really, really, really well. You can talk about, just doing body weight things. You can talk about using band work and a bunch of simple things, right? So core work, medicine ball routines, all that stuff is great. And higher repetition, low load work does great things for posture alignment work. The next two elements are different, right? I mean, to do strength training, you obviously need to have some heavy things to lift. So I know runners say, I don't have access to a gym. I hate going to a gym, whatever. I mean, there's some ways around that in terms of equipment, but at the end of the day, the runners who are serious, find a way to get in the weight room. And I will tell you, the runners I work with, the people I've introduced to this, I don't know any of them who have stopped doing this at all. And that's even from the novice up to the elite level. So I think that once people give us stuff a chance, they find out, wow, I can move some things. And, I noticed that I actually feel better into, 10 miles into my long run. I don't have to make a case anymore. People just get it. Right. So, When we get into lifting work, we're talking about true strength work. We're talking about, kind of primary movements here. I think everything really comes down to one of two movements, whether something's going to be squat based, which is a vertical motion, or deadlift based, which is more of a front to back type motion. And for those of you readers who have listeners who aren't familiar with those, they're two very different patterns in how we stabilize things. When you do a vertical motion up and down, there tends to be a certain amount of split between the muscles around the knees and the muscles around the hips. And when you do a vertical motion, like a squat, and then when you do a deadlift type motion, there tends to be more emphasis on hip muscles than knee muscles. And I would say that you have to train both for sure. But my research has shown that overwhelmingly most runners are more deficient in the front to back pattern than the up and down pattern. So the deadlift, the hip hingy type motions tend to get much more translation to fixing a lot of the imbalances that the majority of runners have.
Okay.
Not to say a squat's not important, but it's I would say that if I had put things in kind of, averages, I'd say 2/3 in the hip hingy type motions and 1/3 in the squat type motion. Mm-hmm. And then there we break those down into, double leg exercises, single leg exercises. What's the point of the workout, right? Again, if we're doing things on, more kind of stability type work, then we're doing lots of single leg stuff and lighter weights. And if we're doing maybe even putting some unstable surfaces, but if your goal is to truly get stronger, we put both feet on the ground, hard ground, not standing on fancy toys and wobble boards. We're on the ground and, we're really trying to drive a lot of load and strength training doesn't depend on time, right? If you say lift this, 250 pound bar, you just lift the bar. I don't time mm-hmm. you. I don't mm-hmm. care about how long it takes you to lift the bar. Strength training is all about, building a bigger reservoir of oomph, right? Of drive. And that has a big role, but there's a big problem. If you just train strength, you lose out on a very, very, very big aspect of running, which brings us to power work. Okay. So let's go over just a quick little concept. When you look at strengthening for runners, or I should say strengthening for any athlete, right? It takes about half a second to develop peak force. So if we said mm-hmm. lift this bar, push this bar, do a carry, whatever you're doing, right? It takes time to develop peak strength. It takes about half a second, right? The problem is when you're running, the stance time, the time on ground that we have when we run is between about 0.08 seconds if you're Usain Bolt, okay, up to about, let's say 0.22 to 0.25 for some of our average, 8:30 minute milers, right? So there's the time you're on the ground, the time you have to develop force as you run is much less than the time that you get in strength training, right? So power training teaches us to build that strength reserve or deliver that strength reserve in a shorter period of time. And that's much more reflective of running performance. So you need to have the right balance of strength work and the right balance of explosive training in your program. And that balance should be something that allows you to run well, right? I mean, people will be sore from time to time, but the goal is not to do, CrossFit workouts when you're in there, 6 days a week in the gym. The goals for running performance training for runners are just that, right? That's running performance training. If I have athletes who are mountain bikers or they're power lifters or whatever, they do different type of workouts, right? The goal is to deliver a running specific plan to help you run better, not just to lift more weight in the gym.
Wow. Awesome lessons learned from Jay. In this next clip, Dr. Alex Harrison, an endurance strength specialist, talks about how to use strength training for better running results, diving into the details about the joint angles and ranges of motion where you want to be strong, how strength training improves running economy, as well as the precise weightlifting movements and number of reps you want to be doing within your programs.
There's a couple different schools of thought or different categories I would place people into. If you're the marathoner that wants to be a good marathoner, but not make it your career, which I think mm-hmm. is most of our audience, probably mm-hmm. being able to squat one times your body weight or do something like a power clean with maybe 0.8 or one times your body weight would mm-hmm. be a great base level of strength to make sure that you have to be sort of sturdy and durable as a marathon runner. Now, If you make money running marathons and that's your mm-hmm. goal is to be a professional marathoner, I would say you can probably get away with less than that, mm-hmm. but you just have to have very good fatigue management in your training to avoid injury. because you sort of have to flirt with the line of how little muscle can I have and still run really fast and be strong in the specific ranges of motion that I need, without having what we call indiscriminate hypertrophy, which is the accumulation of muscle mass for the sake of muscle mass.
Which is what runners don't. They don't want
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't necessarily want to have big old boulder shoulders running your marathon.
Which is part of the reason why your running isn't the
exactly.
forte for you.
I have a picture of myself as a cross country runner in high school, and I was behind a runner who was in the foreground of the picture, and you could see me on both sides of the runner.
Yeah,
not,
I get it.
Not
I
useful.
Yeah. Now, talk about a power clean. You mentioned that. I have no idea what that is. Is that something that we as runners would want to be able to do or use?
Absolutely. So the weightlifting movements are things like the clean, the jerk, the snatch, or the power derivatives where you don't have to catch in a full squat. So essentially, it's with a barbell. You're picking up a weight from the floor. Transitioning smoothly and effectively with good spine positions to a power position, which mimics sort of a stance phase in running, a more upright position. And then you jump explosively with the weight in your hands and catch it on your shoulders.
And how much weight? How much weight are we using?
So to start with, a PVC pipe. It weighs nothing. Yeah, absolutely. Develop proper technique first. Get a weightlifting coach. Some CrossFit coaches are great. Some are... need work, but go to a gym and get trained to move explosively with weight, and your running performance will be enhanced.
And how is that going to happen?
How will the performance enhancement actually occur?
Yeah. I mean, what is that kind of movement and that kind of exercise going to do to make us faster?
Two things. It will grow sport-specific muscle fibers. So in a sport-specific range of motion. So one of the things that the weightlifting movements do better than most other movements is develop strength and power in the joint angles that mimic running, which is really important. You can be strong in all sorts of ranges of motion, and that's great for health and injury prevention. But what's most important for performance enhancement is to be strong in the ranges of motion that you actually use during running. And that's what the power clean and other similar movements will do. So not only does it make you stronger in those positions and more durable, but it'll make your kick faster. It'll make your top speed faster, but it will also improve running economy. So running economy, as you probably know, is the amount of energy that it takes to cover a certain distance at pace. So you will be able to cover a mile using less energy at the same pace, less oxygen, less carbohydrate, by doing weight training alone.
Wow. Okay. So describe this exercise specifically, and then how many reps are we doing when we're novice to it? This is all pretty new to me. So I'm the novice asking for, online
absolutely.
Information.
So if you go and Google how many reps of power clean should I do as an endurance athlete, you're going to get 15, 30, do it for endurance. And it's totally wrong. What you should be doing is training for strength and power in the weight room. And the way that you do that is through sets of 2 to 5 reps, where in each rep, you move explosively. You move as explosively as possible once you've developed proper technique.
Yeah. So this is part of where you really need a coach to help you figure out how to move explosively, what the proper technique is for making that move explosive.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. Well, this is really interesting. I mean, it makes so much sense to me that if you have this kind of, if your muscles are responding to this type of movement, then when you need this in an explosive part of your running training, that you're going to have the brain and the muscle connection to be able to do it.
Bingo. And I think the most important part to highlight is beyond the speed and power and being able to call upon that reserve of speed that you might have, you actually will inherently improve. It spares energy while you run at the same pace. Let's say you're an 8-minute mile pace runner in the marathon, you will actually use less energy at that pace running the marathon simply by building the reserve of speed, power, strength in the weight room.
So elaborate on that. Like, how long would it take to get to a point where you are sparing energy, and how much energy are we talking about being spared?
Well, the good news is for a total novice, we're talking about 4 weeks.
Wow.
It's really fast, to be honest. For a relative beginner who maybe hasn't done this type of exercise in years, or hasn't moved explosively but has done basic resistance training, 6 to 12 weeks and you're going to be seeing improvement. And this is something that you would do sort of in the general prep and specific prep phases, maybe 8 to 12 weeks out of a marathon, or even 6 weeks out of a marathon, not in the 4 weeks leading up to a marathon.
Hey, Run to the Tops fans. Coach Jeff here, interrupting with a word from some of our awesome sponsors. I recently received a question from a listener. He wanted to know if it was possible to avoid digestion problems by eating only healthy organic food. It's a nice thought, but unfortunately, it's just not possible. You see, your natural ability to digest food declines with age. This is because your body produces fewer enzymes, which are the proteins responsible for digesting food. Fewer enzymes means more difficulty digesting food. Even organic foods won't provide enough enzymes to properly digest them. This is especially true if you cook your food, because cooking kills enzymes. This is why you may have digestion problems even after a healthy meal. Your body just can't produce enough enzymes to get the job done. This is where supplementing with a high-quality enzyme supplement can be a huge help. If you're looking to try enzymes to help with your digestive issues, we recommend Mass Enzymes from BioOptimizers. It's a best-in-class supplement loaded with full-spectrum enzymes for digesting proteins, starches, sugars, fibers, and fats. Taking Mass Enzymes daily helps top off your enzyme levels and replace the enzymes your body no longer is producing. After you start taking Mass Enzymes, you may notice that you no longer feel bloated after meals, and it will help you absorb more nutrients. Plus, as a Run to the Top fan, you save an additional 10%. Just head to massenzymes.com/runtothetop and use the code RUN10, and you'll save an additional 10% on any purchase. When it comes to supplements, it can sometimes feel overwhelming when you look at all the myriad of options available and try to figure out exactly what you need and what is going to help you the most. Enter Ello. Ello takes the guesswork out of finding the right supplements by taking into account your blood biomarker levels, health history, and fitness goals to determine the optimal supplement formulation just for you. The biomarker test is shipped right to your door and is as simple and easy to take at home. Once you send it back, they analyze your blood biomarkers, and you can optionally upload your health Apple Health data. You'll get a full panel profile of your deficiencies, strengths, and levels that need to be improved. The best part is, once you have your results, they set you up with a registered dietitian to go over your results and explain what each biomarker means. Then they'll go over the scientific literature behind each supplement they recommend based on your personal health markers. Your custom supplements arrive straight to your door every month, divided into convenient daily packs, and evolve as biomarkers and health data change. If you'd like to give Ello a try, you can get a free biomarker test, a $200 value, by going to ello.health and entering the code RTTT. That's ELO.health and enter the code RTTT for a free blood biomarker test. Thanks, Ello.
Next on our interview lineup is Sam McIntosh, a powerlifter, triathlete, and marathoner certified in weightlifting coaching, who specializes in leading master's level athletes to maximize their running performance. In this clip, Sam builds on some of the points Alex made in the last clip, talking about how much strength training runners need in their programs and what specifically they should be doing at the gym in terms of exercises, number of reps, and more. Let's listen in.
If you're a marathon runner, and I would say 2 sessions a week is what I usually prescribe for people who are training for marathons. But that can go, that can be really appropriate for a 5 or 10K racer as well. I would say if they're going over the shorter distance, they would definitely benefit from more power-based strength workouts. So lots of plyometrics, working the fast twitch stuff and that sort of thing. Whereas marathoners and ultra runners in particular, that it's more about strengthening their bodies for that type of endurance work, because you don't know anyone who comes to the end of a marathon and they're completely out of breath. They may have done a sprint finish or something, but in those last 6 miles of a marathon, you're not out of breath and out of puff. You are in pain. Your body is
right.
struggling to cope with basically what you're doing to it and how long you've been doing it for. And strength training makes your body more resilient against that sort of pain and against that frequent repetitive impact of running, which I think has a bad rap. You know, how many times have people been told, you know, running's bad for your knees? It's not bad for your knees. If your body's strong enough to cope with the full body movement that is running, and, you know, I could go into other stuff about, you know, making sure your body's flexible and stable enough to cope with the, and your form's good. But it's, yeah, it troubled me a lot when I first came into running circles and the triathlon club. I was astounded that people were covering those types of distances and not strengthening their bodies, literally.
So what kind of things do you need to do in the gym? So you're there twice a week. What kind of things would you say are the most important? And light weights, heavy weights, lots of reps, fewer reps? Mm-hmm. Does it matter, or what do you think?
Absolutely, it matters. I would say it's really based on your goals. So there is a guy, I think his name's James Lawrence. He did 50 triathlons, Ironman triathlons in 50 states in 50 days. And he advocates a lot of non-traditional strength work in his program. So he does like 5 reps, 3 reps, 1 reps of the power lifts. And that's quite an unusual approach, but it's definitely one that's workable. You're getting strong and being able to cope with that much volume at the same time. But I would say for most people who are just looking to bulletproof their running and make themselves stronger and more resilient and against injury, we're looking at, you know, 6 to 8 reps. That's what we include in our programs at Endure Stronger, and with weights that are actually really challenging you. And what we do is what I see a lot of runners do in the gym. Number one, which we can talk about later, they wear their running trainers in the gym, which just you should not do. And number two, they're doing like 20 reps of really, really light weight. And you want to make your muscles strong, not to cope with the demands of running, because I think people think, because it's a body weight moving exercise, it's cumulative stress rather than acute stress. So you want to be lifting weights that are challenging you. And yeah, in terms of movements, I think that the genuine sort of like general sort of like a squat, deadlift, lunges are great for runners. I don't think nearly enough runners do lunges. And also not to neglect the upper body as well. We did a post on that recently on the Endure Stronger account. We see a lot of runners just working their lower bodies, but running is a full body movement. And, you know, a lot of the forward propulsion is generated by your arms. So, of course, you want strong arms as well. So we program things like pressing and overhead pressing and bench press and things like that. It's very hard to give a general prescription. I think when I hang out on a lot of runners' Facebook groups and give out some advice on there when I see that people have asked for it in these communities, and they're always looking for these very general prescriptions, like how many reps should I do? It's like, it really depends on your goals and it depends on where you're at now. Like, do you strength train already? Have you only just started? What distance do you run? Have you got any existing pain points that you need to get, you know, that you need to improve? So it's a very specific question, but there are some general recommendations that you can use. And you can definitely, I've seen people post their strength training workouts on these Facebook communities, and I'm like, okay, I don't see how that is particularly helping at a glance. But again, it depends on their goals. They might want to look like a bodybuilder who runs. And if that is the case, then yeah, bodybuilding style workouts should be what they're doing.
Finally, we have Jeff Gaudette, coach here at Runners Connect. In this clip, Jeff speaks to the importance of progression in strength training for runners, why it's important, how the body adapts, whether pain should be present in any of these exercises, and more. Let's listen in one more time.
So there's two reasons progression is important. One is just overall strength. And the second is what we've been talking about, which is injuries. And I think one of the reasons that, because what I see often is, we ask runners, you know, are you, like, when they come in on board or they are injured, and we ask them, you know, are you doing any strength training? A lot of them will say yes. So I think that's really good, because I think the running community now we've been talking about strength training for a long time. So runners are doing the strength training. But what we find is, I'll say, oh, are you doing strength training? And people will answer, yeah, I've been doing it for 3 to 4 weeks, but it initially got better. And then, you know, then once I got past 3 or 4 miles, I got hurt again, or the injury kind of crept back up. And I think the reason for that is, when runners start doing strength training, they don't progress. So they get a routine, whether it be online or purchased or whatever, where it's like, here's a hip strengthening routine. And they just do that same hip strengthening routine week after week. So maybe they're doing it 3 days a week or whatever they're prescribed, and they just do it week after week after week after week. Well, just like running, our muscles will eventually will adapt. I mean, that's the goal of doing strength training, is that they will get stronger. But if you just continue to do the same routine week after week, then your muscles are going to hit a point where they're no longer going to get stronger, and you're just going to stay kind of at that point. And so I think that's where a lot of runners who get stuck when they are injured and are doing strength work, but then find that either their progress towards health stalls, or they get to a certain point where the injury keeps coming back at a certain mileage number. And that, to me, is because we're not properly progressing. So after those 3 to 4 weeks, once the body's adapted, we need to add some new stimulus in order to continue to make progress with that muscle.
So how do we actually do that, Jeff? How do we progress?
Yeah, so there's three main ways. The first is we can add repetitions. So if you're doing a hip thrust, you're starting with 8 to 10, you would then move to 10 to 12. And that's really a good way to progress and that generally works on muscular endurance. So that's a good way to progress if, for example, you can add these progressions at your own discretion, but that's a good way to progress if you're, for example, if you're injured and you're coming back and now you can get 3 miles before you get kind of, you start to feel the injury again, or 3 or 4 miles. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to progress because it's going to work on muscular endurance. The second way to progress is to add weight or resistance. So let's say, again, going back to our hip thrust exercise, probably the easiest way to do a hip thrust would be a double legged hip thrust. So you're using both legs at the same time to thrust your hips. You could then switch to doing a one legged hip thrust. So you're just using one leg at a time to do the hip thrust. Then we could add some type of weight, whether it be a band, or if you're at the gym, a barbell, something like that, where we're adding weight to the hip, which makes it harder to do the hip thrust. And so with weight, the nice thing is, depending on what kind of exercise you're doing, you can continue to add weight basically to your own discretion, as long as you want. So that would be, so adding resistance or weight to your exercise would be the way to go there. To add weight can be a little tricky depending on what kind of exercise you're doing. So some exercises make adding weight a little bit easier than others. And obviously with weight, sometimes that means you're going to need a gym or some type of facility that has either the weights or the bands or whatever to allow you to add weight.
How are you going to know, Jeff? How are you going to know when to start adding these different additions to continue the strength training process?
Yeah, good question. So there's two ways. One, you can have a strength training program that's designed for that. Like if you get a good strength training program, then it should have progression built in. If you want to do your own, then really what you're looking to do is kind of measure your effort level for each exercise. So when you're doing the exercise, kind of measure on a scale of like 1 to 10, what your effort level is. And once the effort level gets to the point where it's in like the 3 to 5 range, then you know that the muscle is probably adapted and is ready to move on to either more repetitions or adding weight in some type of way.
What about pain? There shouldn't be any pain there, right?
Yeah, generally speaking, if you're doing strength training, there really should not be any pain. There can certainly be soreness, especially after the workout. But when you're doing the exercise, there really shouldn't be any pain unless what you're prescribed specifically says there should be pain. Now, I say that because there are some examples for example, the Achilles tendon. When we do decelerated calf raises, there can be pain there, which is okay. And that's a really fine line, probably beyond the scope of this just brief talk about it. But there are some times when you're rehabbing a specific injury where pain is okay in the right amounts and in the right way. And I think that's just really specific to the injury you're dealing with and the type of program that you're following for injury prevention. But for the most part, you shouldn't be having pain.
Wow. What an amazing group of people to learn from about the applications of strength training to our running performance. What was your biggest takeaway or favorite lesson learned? I'm curious. Share it with us on Facebook or Instagram, as we'd love to chat with you about it. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson. As always, our mission here is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Please consider connecting with me on Instagram at RunSingleTrack and the rest of our team at Runners Connect. Also, consider supporting our show for free with a rating on the Spotify and Apple podcast players. And lastly, if you love the show and want behind-the-scenes bonus content, experiences with our guests, and premier access to contests and giveaways, then subscribe to our newsletter by going to runnersconnect.net/podcast. Until next time, happy training.